Support for this episode of Pwned and the following message come from New Harbor Security. New Harbor Security is your end-to-end provider of security services and security solutions. If you're looking for smart security solutions and services for your business, visit us at www.newharborsecurity.com. Hey everyone, just wanted to wish you a happy holidays and a happy New Year's. This week's episode is on implementing ISO 27001. This episode originally aired on October 15th, 2018. And following that episode, I had a ton of follow-up questions and comments from the listeners. So here it is again. Enjoy. Hey, it's Justin. We're going to be diving into this one and more on this week's episode of Pwned. This is Pwned, a weekly show about questions I hear from security professionals and my peers from the industry. Each week, I'll pick one question or great conversation I had during the previous week and recap it here. I'll cover a variety of different topics from security frameworks to security technologies, best practices, and how-tos. I met with a friend of mine last week who is a security analyst at a mid-sized manufacturing company. While none of their information is considered regulated or industry sensitive, it would still really suck if they lost it. So his organization chose ISO 27001 as their security framework. We chatted a little bit why he's struggling with his ISO 27001 adoption within their organization. And here's his deal. He's trying to use the entire ISO 27001 NXA controls and is trying to implement all of the ISO 27002 controls and is getting frustrated with the process. Okay, so here's the deal with ISO 27001. ISO 27001 is not intended to be a compliance framework like PCI or HIPAA. Rather, it's an information security management system, or often referred to as an ISMS. In the most simplistic terms, ISO 27001 is a management framework that guides you through designing and custom building a security program with custom security controls that are right-sized for your organization. So, I'm not going to go through all of ISO 27001 or how it's constructed. Rather, I intend to hit the high points for the purposes of this episode. I quite literally couldn't take 2 or 3 days to fully explain the full process of an ISO 27001 implementation. But for now, know that ISO 27001 is constructed of 10 clauses plus an annex called Annex A. The 10 clauses of ISO 27001 include the body, all of the mechanics, all of the required documentation that's necessary and expected when building your ISO 27001 ISMS. A lot of the pieces that are in the body and are considered mechanics are what auditors look for when they come in and do a certification of someone's ISMS. The Annex A controls are the core security controls of the ISO 27001 framework. Within the 2013 version of ISO 27001, there are 114 security controls in 14 different clauses in 35 different control categories. Again, too much to go through here, but I'll be sure to include some of this information within my show notes at justinfinlay.com. The high points that I want you to take away from this is some of the initial high-level steps that go into implementing your ISMS within your organization is, one, to get management support. There's a lot of different ways that you can do this within your organization. It includes things like having management approve charters, having management allocate budget to your ISMS, having management involved in improving policies. The second part is defining your scope of systems. For most organizations to do an ISO 27001 implementation of your entire company is too much. Therefore, most organizations choose to do an ISO 27001 implementation for a system or an office or a certain geography and choose to tackle their ISO 27001 implementation in smaller sizes. So that was the second step, was scope. The third step is to identify all of the assets within your scope. So assets within an ISO 27001 vernacular can include people, process, and technology. Once you have an inventory of all of those things, the next step, and this is where I see most people get tripped up with implementing their ISMS, is assessing the information security risks of the assets that are in scope. So one of the most common ways that I see people do this is lay out almost a diagram of process flows and data flows. So categorize all of the data ingress points into your scope and all of your data egress points out of your scope. As data flows through your scope of systems, it's going to touch on people who are involved in the process, your business processes, as well as your technologies. When you assess your security risks or you do your security risk assessment, your assessment is including people, process, and technology. Now, there's a lot of commonly accepted risk assessment methodologies in the market today. Many of them will suffice. You just have to justify why you've chosen one risk assessment methodology over another to your auditors, and usually your auditors will be fine with that. Now, one key part of your risk assessment is that it needs to include a mechanism to capture and score residual risk for your organization. That residual risk will drive which security risks you choose to mitigate as an organization. So, in order to do that, there's two key pieces of documentation that come next. The first one is your statement of applicability. Your second one is your risk treatment plan. The statement of applicability is a category in inventory of security controls that could be inclusive of any security controls within the ISO 27001 core NXA. It could be any additional regulatory controls that you might pull in if you work in a regulated environment. The statement of applicability should include your reason and justification for selecting the controls that you've chosen to implement. The main reason for this is that when an auditor comes in and looks at your statement of applicability, they're going to want to see that you've been purposeful about considering all controls within the scope of your ISMS, in that you haven't accidentally forgotten one or left one off. The second document is your risk treatment plan, commonly referred to as your RTP. This is the document that comes out of your risk assessment that categorizes and outlines all of the risks that have been identified as part of your risk assessment. Now, not all risks need to be mitigated, but all risks need to be evaluated. And one good way to do that is by making sure you capture your residual risk score. If, as an organization with management support, your organization decides that a residual risk value over a certain amount or a certain value needs to be mitigated, then those are the risks that you would choose to apply your security controls to. If there are risks below that residual risk score, it's still important to categorize and document those risks for the purpose of your auditors to prove that you've done a level of due diligence related to security risks that you've identified within your organization. Now, for the risk that you've chosen to mitigate, there are a couple different ways that you can do this. And there's a couple different ways to find security controls to mitigate those risks. So the first one is if you're lucky enough to have an Annex A controls that mitigates that risk, that's a good thing. However, there's likely going to be situations where you do not have an existing security control to mitigate the security risk. And then that's where ISO 27002 comes in. ISO 27002 is a security control library documented for the purposes of outlining a population of security controls that can be pulled from for the purposes of mitigating security risks that have been identified as part of your risk assessment. Now, just touching on the remainder of the steps really quick, I'm not going to go into any detail. From here, once you've defined what your security controls are for your organization, becomes the next steps of starting to implement those controls and doing self-assessments and corrective action where you find security gaps within your organization. This is part of the continuous improvement cycle and is what starts to prepare you for your pre-certification assessments. Now, coming back to the question from the beginning of the episode of why is my ISO 27001 implementation failing? I speculate it's a few reasons. The first reason is that the core mechanics of the ISO 27001 framework have not been implemented as a prerequisite step to actually doing the full ISO 27001 implementation. The second part of this is the consideration that not all ISO 27001 controls need to be implemented. Rather, they just need to be justified whether you do or do not apply them. This is the purpose and the value of ISO 27001 and is why it's been such a valuable framework for most organizations, in that ISO 27001 takes into consideration the context and the business operating environment of the organization, and through the process, chooses and selects controls that are appropriate to the organization and mitigate an appropriate level of security risk for the organization. In my personal experience, I found that most folks within an organization are okay performing certain security controls as long as they know that they're valuable to the organization. The moment that you start to implement security controls that seem pointless or don't seem worthwhile, or people just don't understand why they're doing them, is the point where you start to lose the support from the organization and your security controls start to suffer adoption. A special thanks goes out to our sponsor, ISO27001certifications.com. ISO27001certifications.com is a national leader in the ISO security certification. They make the ISO 27001 certification process affordable, easy, and quick. If you're thinking about certifying or looking for an ISO 27001 certification, contact us today at ISO27001certifications.com. Thanks for listening to the show this week. If you want to learn more, listen to previous episodes, or snag some show notes, you can go to my website at justinfimlay.com and you can reach me on the contact form, or you can direct message me on Twitter at Justin Finlay. Please also subscribe to the show at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And please give us a 5-star rating, as your ratings help to make this show possible.